You're listening to the Chronicles of Iguna, the Arsenal podcast.
I'm Martin Tyler, and you're listening to Harry Simeon.
Hello and welcome back to another live edition of the Chronicles of Iguna, the Arsenal podcast brought to you by 90 Min. As ever, I'm your host, Harry Simeon, and joining me to react to Arsenal's second consecutive Premier League victory is Metro Sports' Mike Stavrou. Mike, welcome back to the show, mate. You're becoming a bit of a good luck charm.
Yeah, two shows, two wins. What's going on, Harry? You need to get me back more often, mate.
I know, we do. But you're the one that's a bit of a superstar and is always busy doing something, wowing his girlfriend or something. So, the invite is there. It's true, I could have said anything. Big hello to everybody who's joining us currently in the live chat. How you all doing? Welcome to the program. If you haven't already, be sure to hit that like button on whichever platform it is that you are joining us from, whether that's via the audio platforms and you're joining us on Wednesday morning, or of course, whether you are live with us now, please do that. It does really help. And subscribe to the channel if you haven't already. Help us on the road to 11K YouTube subscribers. We're hoping to hit that target very, very soon. And when we do, we'll run another competition. So we'll be absolutely delighted to get there. So please help us by smashing the like button and subscribing if you haven't already. Mike, let's get into the thick of it. Arsenal picking up their second consecutive Premier League victory for only the second time this season. It's been a really poor start to the campaign for Arsenal. It's threatened to get going at certain points, and then we've hit brick walls again. I must admit, after that first half performance, I did feel like we were going to stall again, if I'm honest. Did you share that view? Were you worried by what you saw in the first 45 minutes?
Yeah, 100%. First half, by the first 5 minutes of the game, Harry, you could just see the intensity of the Chelsea game wasn't there. I guess in a sense that Chelsea game was a bit of a freak performance in the sense that we haven't seen it the whole season. A lot towards the end of last season as well, apart from the FA Cup run. But yeah, it was languid, it was slow, there wasn't any risk-taking. I thought in particular Elneny and Hector Bellerin were very, very poor. You know, there was a few occasions where we threatened to you know, hit some combination play and link-up, but every single time it was backwards. Especially Bellerin on the right-hand side, I feel like he was the only option to Saka. And, you know, Saka was the bright spot throughout the game, even in the first half. But he like had to beat about three or four players to actually get anywhere. It was so slow. But obviously, second half, it picked up. But yeah, I definitely did share your concerns in that first half.
Let's go back to Mikel Arteta's initial team selection, because I said in my preview for that game that I would actually be very surprised if Mikel went with pretty much the same team. And it's not because I didn't want him to go with that same team, but of course there was a quick turnaround. There's a lot of players that played against Chelsea, Pablo Mari being one of them, Gabriel Martinelli being another, Emile Smith Rowe being another, who haven't played a great deal of football this season, and were kind of brought into the side because of a little bit of desperation. And I felt like Mikel might be a little bit concerned over the fitness of some of those players. But lo and behold, Mikel decided to stick with a winning team. And I think most people were pleased with that, barring one change. And that change was to bring Aubameyang in for Lacazette. Obviously, Mike, Lacazette came on, scored the winning goal, and it proved a genius substitution. But, you know, I've got to say, and it's obviously it's nice to be able to look back with hindsight after you've just won a game, but I do feel like Mikel got it wrong bringing Aubameyang back into the side, because I thought probably the biggest positive from that Chelsea game was the link up between Emile Smith Rowe, Martinelli, Saka and Lacazette. So to leave him out, I thought, and replace him with Aubameyang was a little bit harsh.
Yeah, no, I 100% agree on the lineup as a whole. Now comes Aubameyang. I was quite surprised, really, because I know that, you know, as you mentioned, there were some There were some absentees, which is the reason why some of the younger players came in, like Willian obviously wasn't there. And I was fully expecting, you know, if they did come back, some more senior players to get a chance and come in for the likes of Smith Rowe. I didn't really think Arteta would play someone, especially Smith Rowe, again. But he did, and I was really surprised and happy with his decision, because it showed, you know, play the players on merit, don't play them on status, don't play them on, you know, authority, just play them on form and their intensity, which obviously a lot of them players that were playing last week played. And then it was Aubameyang, and you're sort of thinking, wait, Lacazette really had probably one of the best games of the season. He did everything right against Chelsea. He, you know, held his own against two of the Premier League's, you know, better centre halves. Linked up the play really well, and then he didn't get another start. And I was a bit shocked, to be honest.
I've got to just add, Mike. Sorry to disturb you there. I've just got to add that Lacazette, apparently, according to Mikel Arteta, now these comments are coming to us right now because obviously he's speaking to the media. Arteta has said that Lacazette had a bit of a sore back, and that was okay, partly fine. Why he couldn't start. So I apologise to Mikel Arteta there as well, because those comments are making their way through to us as we're doing this live after the game. Press conference is currently taking place. So we have to give him a bit of credit there. But even still, Aubameyang didn't really perform in that role, did he?
Didn't do anything. Like, plainly. And I just can't understand, you know, why he keeps getting chances as a centre forward. You know, me and you definitely have spoken about it before. We know that he cannot play the centre forward role in our system. It requires so much more than, you know, ability in front of goal. In fact, 90% of the role is playing with your back towards the goal. You know, it's about link up play. It's about backing into defenders, which is maybe why Lacazette had a sore back, because he did so much of that against Chelsea. And Aubameyang just isn't built for that. He's a player that, you know, likes to play off the shoulder. You know, he's probably more suited to a counter-attacking style of play. Against a team like that, against someone that's going to defend a bit deeper, he's not what you need. And not just on the ball, Harry, but also in terms of his pressing, we missed a lot. Because what I really liked against Chelsea was those four forwards, Martinelli, Lacazette, Smith Rowe, and Saka, and their intensity in the press. That's what did really well for us. That's what won us the turnovers. And that wasn't there. That was completely gone. So it was like one guy down almost in attack. And for me, I don't think it's too reactionary to say I don't want to see Aubameyang play up front again. I don't. I just don't think he's built for it. He could have maybe switched it. You know, Lacazette was obviously injured. Maybe Martinelli could have played at centre forward. Aubameyang off the left, he's more effective there. But for me, he just doesn't offer anything in that position.
Yeah, I think you make a valid point, and I've been beating that drum about Aubameyang not playing through the centre for a while. When we weren't scoring goals, I was kind of open to the idea of trying it because I felt like we were in a desperate situation, but I agree with you. He doesn't give the team as a whole enough, and he doesn't link up with everybody else enough. I mean, he missed a wonderful opportunity at 0-0 to put Arsenal in front. That was probably Arsenal's best move of the game. I thought it was a fantastic breakaway. And I think that kind of sparked us into life, didn't it, in that second half, that move. And you'd have backed Aubameyang to score from that position. It wasn't to be. Really good save from the goalkeeper, but from that sort of range, you expect him to...
Shouldn't be giving him a chance.
Yeah, agreed. He should absolutely be finding the back of the net. I want to give a shout out to Emil Smith Rowe again. I know Bukayo Saka will get all the plaudits, and rightly so, because he had a very, very good, in particular, second half, I thought. Made things happen, carried the ball, picked the right passes out at the right times. Made a couple of errors as well. There was a couple of situations where he got into good positions and you thought he probably could have done a little bit more. But he ultimately made up for it with a wonderful run and an assist for the goal. But I want to give a shout out to Emil Smith Rowe, because I think what Emil Smith Rowe does so well is he links up the play between everybody brilliantly. He's that missing puzzle piece. And you know, there are going to be nights where Emile Smith Rowe doesn't perform. He's a youngster at the end of the day. There will be inconsistencies. But I think he deserves a massive amount of praise for the way he's come into this team and really had an impact in terms of knitting things together between that midfield and the attack. And I thought, again, he had a really, really good game. You know, we talk a lot, don't we, Mike, about giving the youngsters a chance and all of that stuff. And for me, the likes of Smith Rowe, Saka and Martinelli, you know, you can talk about Nelson all you like, you can talk about Willock all you like, but these guys are at a different level for me. These guys are ready to play first team football week in, week out. The others, I'm not so sure. Would you agree with that? Do you feel like Emile Smith Rowe and Gabriel Martinelli, and we already knew about Bukayo Saka, have shown in the last couple of fixtures that actually they are ready to play at this level and they are ahead of some of the other sort of fringe players?
1,000%, because as a youngster, Harry, as you know, you don't get chances really. And when you do get those odd chances, you have to perform. And that's what those three have done. I mean, Martinelli last season, you know, 10 goals for a teenager. Saka, again, when he came into the team, he's a winger, but he played left back. He played central midfield. He played on the right-hand side, left-hand side. He took his chance. Emile Smith Rowe, we're seeing it now. You know, he's sparked us into life. This is a teenager, you know, a youngster. And for him to have that impact on the team, I know it's two games, but we're just seeing what can be done. And I think almost the groundwork for that, you know, has been made. You know, we saw Lacazette play in that number 10 position a few weeks ago, and we have to say that he did all right. Wasn't quite enough, but I think this is the template that we need to go forward. And all we needed was just that player with a little bit of flair, a little bit of dynamism to sit between the lines and get us going. And that's exactly what's happened. And yes, the first half was poor. I think Smith Rowe didn't get in the game, and that's probably one of the reasons why we didn't prosper. But I think with the likes of Eddie Nketiah, you know, Maitland-Niles to an extent as well, he's obviously a bit older, but they've been given chances, but they haven't made the same impact. And at this level, you just don't get that much time.
Yeah, I completely agree. Just a quick reminder to everybody, join us in the live chat because there's a lot more of you now. Get your comments in, get your questions in. We'll come to a few of those throughout the program. Some of you asking if tonight is a phone-in show. It's not, guys. And that is my fault. So I will get one of those arranged sooner rather than later. But tonight isn't a phone-in show. But feel free to get your comments in the chat box and we'll pick them up and we'll discuss them and we'll answer your questions as well. So get involved in the live chat. Let's pick up some of those comments and then we'll continue to try and pull apart the game tonight and the performance tonight. Let's see what you guys are saying. Rob Graham says first half was abysmal, let's be honest, but 3 points, and surely after that Oba has to be dropped indefinitely. So a fair few Arsenal fans out there feeling as though Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang is not quite at the races at the moment and we're a better team without him, which when you consider how many goals he scored last season feels like an absolutely crazy thing to say, but you can understand where people are coming from. Fodi says, get the fudge in there, Harry. So pleased to watch Arsenal play the way we did. Hope last week was a turning point. Captain Caramello says, solid performance overall. First halves are like watching paint dry, though. This needs to change. Graham says, that's Arteta safe until the end of the season. So no more debate needed on that one. What else have we got here? Patrick Power Video says, Smith Rowe has been good last two games, puts himself about and makes runs. Happy with that win. David Arsenal says, the game was really stressful for me, but super happy with the victory. Brighton playing the B team is hilarious. That was strange, wasn't it, Mike? Because, you know, in Brighton's position, you'll be looking at certain fixtures and you'll be thinking, what are my chances of winning that one? And which one do I prioritise? I think that's probably where Graham Potter's coming from. And if I'm not mistaken, they played against West Ham at the weekend or the other day. And so they probably felt like that was a more winnable game. And that's why Graham Potter decided to play a stronger side in that one and rotate today. But, you know, people will sit there and point the finger at Graham Potter for that. But I actually thought that, you know, particularly in the first half and right at the start of the second half, Brighton did okay, didn't they?
They were good. And I think if we were playing against some of them players that came on, Danny Welbeck, you know, Danny Welbeck didn't come on, but, you know, Neil Mopay, if they did start, then I think with the amount of chances that Brighton created in the first half, we could have been two or three down, because it was, you know, it was almost a barrage at one point from them in the first half. And we looked scared. And that's one thing that I have picked up from us, Harry, is that when things aren't quite going our way, the heads drop. And that's something that we need to sort out. And I agree with some of the comments there. It was they looked scared in the first half. And if we did go one goal behind, I sort of worry as to how we would have even come back from that, because there's not that confidence in this team, like nowhere near the level that it should be. And we just have to hope that, you know, with more performances like the second half and like against Chelsea, we can start to build up slowly. But it is definitely a concern, because we can't start games like that. We just can't, because we'll get punished by better teams.
Yeah, don't disagree with that. The Malaysia says Oba's not a versatile kind of player. He can't head, he can't pass, can't hold the ball up. He'll only score a goal. Without the goals, he offers nothing. The Overlord of Procrastination says abysmal first half, reverted to Arsenal we've been used to. Second half was like a different team, but we wasted 45 minutes. I think it's important when assessing this performance to remember that although we beat Chelsea the other day, this is an Arsenal side that has struggled all season in the Premier League. An Arsenal side who have struggled for consistency, for confidence. And if people thought that after beating Chelsea, we were all of a sudden going to become this free-flowing, amazing team that we're going to go out and blow everybody away week in, week out, then I think, you know, they're mistaken. I didn't ever think that was going to be the case. I said at the start of this run of games with Chelsea, Brighton and West Brom that I wanted 7 points, and we got 6 on the board. So I'm not complaining at this point. G Will says, I begged the football gods to speak to Arteta to free Lacazette. They did. And after 47 seconds, boom, Laka should never have been dropped. Just to quickly remind people, or let people know if they're joining us a little bit late in the program, actually, Alexander Lacazette, it's said by Mikel Arteta, had a slight back injury, and that's why he didn't start the game. Haji Mohamed says, hello, Harry. Great and much needed win. We fans are very much delighted. Come on, you Gunners, from Belfast. David says, no hat Tuesday. Yeah, look, do you want to be honest? Like, I need a haircut, right? There's no debate in that. There's no two ways about it. Problem is, my hat is inside the house and I'm in the man cave, and I was not going to go back in there and walk across the freezing cold garden again just to get the hat. So if you have any complaints, put them in writing. Let's talk about a couple of other players individually, Mike. And I want to talk about Mohamed Elneny, because I thought his performance tonight was abysmal. And you know, now and again, Mohamed Elneny puts in these really good displays, and where he doesn't do anything spectacular, but he just does the basics well. And then you start getting those calls from certain sections of the fan base about Mohamed Elneny, and that he should play week in, week out, and that he's key and this and that. And then just performances like tonight just serve as such a stark reminder of the player's limitations. I thought he was dreadful tonight. Maybe, in my opinion, Arsenal's worst player on the pitch. And it's a reminder, isn't it, that we do need to improve in that area.
I agree. I thought it was terrible. I mentioned it before as well. I mean, he wasn't even doing the basics right. He almost gave away a goal in the first half. Sloppy, taking too many touches on the ball, slowed us down, wasn't getting his head up. I mean, his range of passing isn't great anyway, let's be honest. But I just thought he was just playing it so safe. And actually, when you have players like that are pretty much building from the bottom, because Xhaka played a tiny bit higher, didn't he? It just sets a negative precedent to the entire team. And I do think Elneny has his positives. In big games, you saw against Chelsea, against Man United at Old Trafford, he can do a job because he's energetic. He closes down. He gives everything. You know, he can play short passes pretty well most of the time. But in games where you have to break teams down and you need that bit more incisiveness, he should not be playing. And I think that was another lineup mistake by Arteta. I think he should have started with someone like Ceballos, because Brighton didn't really cut through us in the middle of the pitch. It was mostly down the sides where they were getting their luck. So in reality, we probably didn't need, you know, a pairing as defensive as Xhaka and Elneny against Brighton. You know, against Brighton that didn't even play a striker against us. So it was a bit odd. Yeah, it does have benefits here and there, but he can't be starting every game. When Partey's back, I'm sure he won't be. So, and hopefully that's not long.
What did you make of Bissouma in the Brighton midfield? There are a couple of Arsenal fans in the chat here. Alex McCarthy says, sign Bissouma. Been watching him for a while now and he'd be a great partner for Partey. Tonight he was outstanding with basic second-rate players around him. Is he somebody you like? He's somebody that really got on my nerves when we played them after the restart at the back end of last season with his constant fouling. I found him to be a really dirty midfield player, and he's somebody that really, for wanting of a better term, pissed me off. Would you have him at Arsenal? Do you think he is the kind of partner that Partey needs, or do you think they're a bit similar?
Yeah, no, I was just going to say that, actually. I think they're a bit too similar. I think Bissouma is a really good player. He showed his class tonight. I think one thing that shows you players that are a step above is when they know what the opposition's going to do before they've even got there. And just like some of his touches where he would anticipate a midfielder coming in from one angle, when he shifts it and pushes it the other way. He's got a decent range of passing. He's strong. He's big. He's physical. And in a way, yeah, I do see a lot of similarities between him and Partey. And I think if we are gonna go forward eventually to the 4-3-3 system that Arteta wants to play, as he said, he wants to, you know, get five or six more signs before he can move to that. You need a sitting midfielder, which I think will be Partey. And then you need some people who've got a bit more creativity further forward, a bit like how Man City did it, you know, with Fernandinho sitting and then De Bruyne and David Silva either side. If you want that, I think Bissouma and Partey are a bit too similar. If we're talking about players that we should be targeting, we have that number six and then we have the two number eight. So someone who can play a bit more further forward and occupy in the half spaces, like a Julian Brandt, for instance. But no taking away from Bissouma. I thought he was really, really good tonight.
Yeah, he has been good, hasn't he, for a while now. And you can understand why there are said to be a number of top clubs circling around him. Brad Richardson wants to give a shout out to Bern Leno tonight. He says he was on fire. I thought Bern Leno made some really smart stops today at key points in the game and deserves a bit of credit for that. I didn't like his kick-ups in the first half. I didn't like that at all. I never in a million years want to see my goalkeeper even attempting things like that. But Leno made some smart stops, didn't he? And I thought he had a pretty good game overall.
Yeah, he was all right. As you say, I mean, even if we're 10-0 up, just never, ever do that. Like, don't, like, even in training, if I was a defender, I'd be looking at him saying, come on, mate, like, sort yourself out. No need for that. Like, I guess it was a bit of a weird situation because the ball, his touch wasn't great. And then he tried to almost save himself, didn't he, by flicking it up. But he didn't need to do so many touches to get rid of it. Just boot it out. One thing I did notice, actually, in relation to Leno, our playing out from the back, Harry, still needs work, I think. Depending on who we play, you know, Mari, I think, can get, is a bit lackadaisical sometimes. Holding's getting better, but I just think when we don't have that player who can offer in the middle of the park all the time, like an Elneny, we really suffer, because what we need is when the centre back gets the ball, you know, they split. We need someone to be able to pop the ball off, and it just doesn't happen often enough. And I think Partey is the guy to do that, but obviously we're not quite that. What do you think? Do you think our passing out the back is good enough yet?
No, I don't. I don't. I think it needs work. I think it needs a midfield player who can drop into those holes and is a little bit better at doing that. I think Granit Xhaka tries to do it quite a bit, and I don't think he's the worst player in the world in that, at picking up the ball in those deep positions. But we know that he's a little bit limited in his movement, and at times he can get caught out. He can get caught on the ball. I think Elneny can as well. I think when you play that way, and when as a manager you insist that your team play that way, there is an associated risk to it that you just have to accept is part and parcel of the game. When it works and you do draw in the opponent and you create the spaces in behind in those wide areas, as we saw Mikel Arteta's side do so effectively in that FA Cup semi-final and final at the back end of last season, then great, happy days. But there will be times where it doesn't work, I think, and there will be times where, you know, it causes you problems. The issue here is that obviously it depends on the opponent's press as well. You know, who are you talking about pressing you? I mean, if Liverpool are doing it to you and you've got Sadio Mane, Roberto Firmino and Mohamed Salah snapping at your heels, it becomes a lot more difficult, doesn't it, than Ali Reza, Yahag Basha and people like that. So, it does need work, I agree. But I don't know if you'll ever find perfection with that. And I don't know if maybe we're expecting something that we're, quite frankly, never going to get. Let's move on. Andreas in Cyprus says, great win. Saka's contribution is unbelievable. Smith Rowe was very good as well. Important goal for Laka and for the Arsenal mentality. Yep. Agree with all of that. Let's see what else you guys are saying. Martin says, let's hope Laka can build some confidence and start scoring some goals on a more consistent basis. He's done it in streaks this season, hasn't he, Laka? He got three, he scored in three consecutive games, I think, at the start of the campaign. And he's managed to do that again. But there was not a great deal in between. But to be fair to Lacazette, there wasn't a great deal from Arsenal as a team in between. But, you know, it's a hard one with Lacazette, isn't it? Because every time you think that you've got to the point where you want to write him off, he then produces, and then you start to think, shit, am I being silly here?
It's so frustrating, but he is just 100% a confidence player, Harry. He just goes up and down and up and down. And as I said, I've been impressed with him in the last few games. I think he offers us the perfect dimension for what we want from our number nine in this system we're playing. He linked up really, really well against Chelsea with Smith Rowe, Lacazette. You know, there was really good play happening there, and some of the best play that we've had all season. And then again, when he came on, he showed it, got his goal, and obviously the difference to mark between him and Aubameyang was for our goal. Obviously, Saka's contribution was amazing, as the last guy said. But what he did was he actually was clever enough to drop off and see that Saka was going to cut it back and create the space for himself. And in the end, he had the entire, you know, space of the universe to be able to score. I'm not sure Aubameyang would have quite been able to, you know, have the awareness to see where that space was and just check back. Maybe because of confidence, or maybe just because he's not, you know, the perfect striker. I think he's better coming off the left. But I just want to see more from Lacazette. I want to see more, and I want to see it more consistently. And that is a reason why, even though we praise him a lot, if you're looking at where we need to improve, we do need, if we want to climb up, we do need that world-class centre forward. We do. And if we're talking about players that we could potentially, you know, let go and sell for some money, unfortunately, he's probably one.
Yeah, I agree. You know, I do think he deserves praise for some of his recent displays and the way he's helped us in a really difficult period. But you're right. I still can't get behind the idea or the notion that Lacazette is a world-class centre-forward. And at some point in the development of this team, we're going to need to address that. I think that's an absolutely fair view to have and a fair thing to say. Don't forget, guys, if you haven't already, please do smash that like button. I can see there's over 250 of you now currently watching us live across the multiple platforms. And we know that lots of you are going to watch this after, and lots of you are going to listen to this on the audio platforms as well. Please do hit the like button. And if you're watching us on YouTube, subscribe to the channel. Around about 46% of you at the moment are watching these videos without being subscribed. So let's put that right. And you can help us on the road to 11,000 YouTube subscribers in doing that. Fatality DMB says, evening chaps, good result tonight. Anyone see West Brom versus Leeds? West Brom were awful. Hoping for a win when we play them on Saturday. Now, this is not Arsenal related, but I wanted to have a rant about this, a little bit of a rant, a moan. there are people out there who will tell you that Sam Allardyce's tactics are the way forward and that Marcelo Bielsa's leads will go down because they play too openly and their football is too expansive. Well, how did that work out tonight? Marcelo Bielsa travels to the Hawthorns and comes away with a 5-0 win. A 5-0 win. Leeds United were 4 goals to the good at halftime. And tonight's result between West Brom and Leeds was a victory not just for Marcelo Bielsa, not just for Leeds United, but a victory for football and the beautiful game that we all love. That dinosaur, Sam Allardyce, needs to get relegated with West Brom to put that stupid record of his to bed. And then we can stop calling on idiots like him and getting good managers who have done good jobs, who play football the right way, like Slaven Bilic, losing their jobs because of people like Sam Allardyce hanging around in the wings, looking to play anti-football and nick results. So I'm absolutely delighted for Leeds United tonight. I can't even express how delighted I am. And actually, it's worrying because I shouldn't be that happy for a team so close to us in the table to be winning games. But yeah, it's just the way it is. Let's move on to some more of your comments. Going back to that Bissouma discussion we were having a little bit earlier on. Abdi says Bissouma is a fantastic player. He would be perfect next to Partey. Matt says, I would worry about the amount of yellow and red cards Bissouma and Partey would pick up. It's a fair point. It's a fair point. Let's see what else we've got here. Just scrolling through. If I miss your comment, I apologize. I'm just trying not to repeat the same kind of things over and over again. So let's see what we've got here. Manus, this is a really good point. And I put a tweet out about this during the game. He says, do you guys think Aubameyang has lost a yard of pace? There was a couple of times I thought he would run away from the defender, but couldn't. There was one instance in the second half where Arsenal were defending and the ball came to Aubameyang and you're just looking at him and you're thinking, he's on the left-hand side, knock it past Webster and turn on the burners. Like, had that been Thierry Henry, he would have ran off of the pitch, around the pitch and come back on and still got there in time. And I'm not saying that Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang has the explosive pace that Thierry Henry once had, but I was really surprised to see him stopped in his tracks by Webster. And he was so slow, Aubameyang, that he had to kind of throw himself into a bit of a slide tackle to try and win the ball back in the end after having it under control. Do you think there is something to that, Mike? Is it down to tiredness, lack of fitness? He has been out injured for a couple of weeks.
No, I've been noticing it for a while. I think he's lost that yard of pace, and it's not just pace as well. It's that sharpness. Like even with a chance that he had in the first half, was early in the second half, but he's cut inside, and usually when he sets himself, he whips it into the far post, and he just ballooned it. And I'm just thinking, this is a player that is just not the man that we saw last season, and I don't really know why. And as you said last week as well, he doesn't look like really happy. He's not his sort of like jovial self, and I'm not really sure to be honest, because maybe people have got a point when they said, look, he was playing for a new contract. And then as soon as he signs that, bump a new deal, there's been a massive drop off. Maybe there's something in that. I don't know. I don't personally believe that. I'd like to think that he's good enough of a professional to decide to turn up every week. But when we think about how important he was and what a talisman he was for us, I just don't really know what's happened. And you have to sort of, back it up with stats last season to say that yes, he did outperform his expected goals, and he was extremely clinical. And maybe he wasn't getting creating as many chances as he was, and that's a bit misleading. And that's why this season he's not scored as many, because those chances aren't being created for him, and he's just not as clinical. But I just think the bare minimum for a captain, this is talking about a captain, to do is to put in 100%. And when I don't see him press, when I see him sort of like knock the ball ahead and try and get there, but yeah, maybe, a full sprint like a Kieran Tierney or a Gabriel Martinelli would have got on the end of that, the incident you're talking about, it's disappointing. And I don't really know where we go, because if you look at, you know, what people were saying today, even before the news about Lacazette's back injury, you would have seen, you would have said, well, I would have started Lacazette anyway. So what does he do now? Does he drop his captain? Because if he's talking about, you know, playing players on merit and, you know, players like Emil Smith Rowe, and he's not performing, how can he justify that? I don't know.
It's a hard one, because part of the discussions that would have gone on behind the scenes about Aubameyang's new contract would have, I'm certain, would have included the idea of Mikel Arteta building the team around him and building the squad around him, which puts Arteta now in a slightly difficult situation. You know, you didn't start him against Chelsea, but you had that card in your back pocket, you know, the card that says you've been out injured, you're not 100% fit, you've only trained twice, therefore I'm not going to start you. But I don't think Mikel Arteta has much of a choice now, because the club have given Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang that big contract. The club have made it clear that he is part of their plans for developing and moving forward. They would have had to sell him that dream to get him to sign on the dotted line. So it does feel very much like Mikel is A, trying not to go back on his word, and B, doesn't want to upset a player that I'm sure that, you know, although his form hasn't been great of late, I'm sure Mikel still sees as Arsenal's best player and someone that can still be a difference maker and a match winner. So I feel like Mikel is trying to walk that line between doing what's right for the team, but also not upsetting one of his big stars. And we know that Mikel has upset other big stars at the football club, and it's not necessarily worked out well for him. So perhaps he's learned his lesson, and perhaps that is why he's feeling that way. Let's pick up some more comments as we continue to take your live interaction right here on the Chronicles of Aguna. Don't forget, subscribe to the channel if you haven't, and smash the like button if you haven't already as well. It does really, really help. If you're listening via the audio, be sure to leave us a 5-star review, nothing less, but make sure you leave a comment with it as well. That is very helpful too. Fatality says, Granit done okay tonight. You know why? Because of the Granit Xhaka figurine. There he is. There he is. This bad boy is responsible for Granit Xhaka's free kick the other day against Chelsea. I had him by my side again today, and I thought Granit Xhaka had a decent game. So there you go. Cheers, little Granit. Let's move on. Alexander Ross. This is an interesting question, Mike. I'm going to throw this one at you. He says, would you rather buy a player this January? So a player, one player, or sell three players if it had to be one or the other?
Well, do I get my pick of any player I want? Like, can I sign Messi?
No. It's got to be a realistic signing. So by realistic, I mean someone who's probably played for Chelsea, is in his mid-30s, and is a free agent.
should we just go off one of the guys we've been linked with, Julian Brandt? Is that a fair one?
Yeah, that's a fair one. I thought you were going to say Diego Costa there, and I was thinking,
nah, mate, absolutely. Let's not get into that. There's been way too much over that. We can talk about it later, but Brandt or three players. So if we're talking about three players that I would want to sell, probably Mesut Ozil's up there because of the wage demands. Probably someone like Socrates who can't even get in. And maybe someone like Mustafi, who's just in the Europa League team at the moment. Selling those, yes, it would clear a bit of the wage bill, but would it help us? But like between now and June, probably not. So I would say signing a player, because when we look at the influence that Emil Smith Rowe has had as a number 10 in this team, who's, you know, got a bit about him, got a bit of skill, determination, flair, goes off the side, you know, links up well. When we see what he can do, a rather untested player. If we can put someone that's more experienced, that's, you know, got European experience, played at the highest level in there to take the pressure off him, absolutely would I do that? Yes, absolutely. Because that's what we've been missing. That's what we need. We need consistency in that. And it just shows you the complete difference that it makes when you can get a creative player functioning. Because That difference was clear in the first half and the second half of today's game. First half, Smith Rowe wasn't involved. Second half, we got the ball to him more. He was able to get on it. That allowed Saka to play. That allowed Martinelli and Lacazette to play. So the answer to the question, 100% yes.
Whoops, I was on mute there. Apologies. Let's pick up a few more of your questions and comments from the live chat. Just scrolling through. Arsenal Small Talk says, hi guys, 3 points in the pocket. Yes, really delighted that we managed to get the 3 points and pick up back-to-back victories in the Premier League. Let's hope we can pick up a third successive one at West Bromwich Albion in our next fixture. Harry Land says, Xhaka and Bellerin were both solid tonight. Let's give them some love for once. Yeah, I think that's worth doing. You know, there are a couple of players who I think get a hard time quite a bit. Sometimes it's deserved and other times it's probably not. So, yeah, they certainly deserve some credit for their performances tonight. And let me just take you through just briefly, actually, because I think this is always interesting. And, you know, I don't really do this. I know a lot of other channels do this, and maybe it's something that I should start doing. If you guys want it, I'd be interested to hear. Maybe I'll put a poll out on the channel and see what you guys are saying. But if I just share my screen with you guys now, you'll find the player ratings from tonight's game. And that's according to whoscored.com. Really good stats-based website. So if you ever want to check out some stats on certain players, or you got anything that you want to look at in particular, this is the one. Head over to whoscored.com and check it out. Let's go through the ratings from tonight. Bern Leno, 7.1 out of 10. All these ratings are out of 10. Bellerin, 7.1. Holding, 7. Pablo Mari, 7.2. Kieran Tierney, 6.7. I feel like that's a bit harsh. I thought he was as good as the rest of the back four. Mohamed Elneny, 6.4, absolutely deserved. I'm surprised he got that. I thought it was dreadful. We've already discussed that. Xhaka, 7.3, solid rating. Smith Rowe, 6.9, just under the 7 mark. I think that's probably fair, because I think Smith Rowe did well in terms of linking up the play, but it wasn't, I didn't think he was amazing tonight. He still did a good job and did what he was asked, but I think around about the 7 mark is probably right for him. Martinelli, 6.2, maybe feels a little bit harsh. Actually feels very harsh when you consider that that's lower than Mohamed Elneny's rating, according to these guys. Aubameyang, 6.5, and Saka, 7.9. And he was obviously the star man of the match. So there you go. Those were the ratings from whoscored.com. Let us know your player ratings in the live chat as well, and we'll take a look at some of those too. Right, let's pick up a couple more questions before we wrap it up, Mike. Let's see what else people are saying. Here it is. John Knott, and I'm going to put this to you, Mike. I spoke about this on our transfer update show earlier on today, so I'm not going to give my thoughts on this again. If you want to hear my thoughts, check out the video from earlier today or the podcast from earlier today. John says, would you take Diogo Costa for 6 months with a further year option to give us a different option up front?
No.
I thought you were going to say that.
I'm trying to get my head around how fans on Twitter today were saying they would take him. What is there to like about Diego Costa now? He's not been good for the last 2 or 3 years. You know, if we're talking about prime Diego Costa, the one that, you know, winds people up, was it Gabriel sent off back at the bridge all them years ago? You know, if it's that sort of Diego Costa that can impact the game and can, you know, be an absolute plonker, for use of a better word, but he's the kind of guy that you love on your team but hate to play against. If it's him, yeah, I'm taking him. If it's Diego Costa this iteration, no. I mean, why do we want to give, you know, players that are past it any more opportunities? We spoke about it last week. Willian signings, David Luiz signings, even, you know, players like Cedric to some extent, that this short-termism, you know, it could create certain divisions within the squad, because you see, you know, these players who are, you know, past the twilight of their careers getting massive contract, and it makes, you know, some of the other players think, well, you know, if he's on that, you know, and he's not even performing, how is that justified? So, in short, absolutely not. And I don't know, can you maybe understand the reasons why some fans would want him? Because I can't.
I was saying this on the podcast earlier on today when discussing this. What's happening here is you find in situations where Arsenal are bringing in these players who are over the hill, who have come to the end of their careers, who were once great players, once players who could impact games, and were once players who were much sought after, but have now hit a point in their career where actually they're not needed, they're not wanted, and they're not seen as the future for their current clubs. And that's why they've been let go. Look, Diego Costa has mutually terminated his contract with Atletico Madrid. Now, for a club the size of Atletico Madrid to terminate your contract, i.e. to be bullied into terminating your contract because you have personally requested they do so, shows you that they're not that bothered about you, and they don't really want you, and they don't value you anymore, and they don't think that you've got a great deal to offer. Hence why they're happy to do that. He's obviously on too much money at Atletico Madrid, because one of the main reasons that it's being said that they were so willing to do so was to release funds on their wage bill, or within their wage structure, so that they would be able to go and strengthen in January in other areas. So clearly they don't feel that Diego Costa was worth the buck that he was on, and that's why they want to move him on. In Arsenal's case, when we've tried to do deals like that, it hasn't worked out. You know, Willian is a prime example of that, and there have been others in the past as well, you know, where we've bought in these veteran players. Do you remember when we bought Mikhail Silvest? Do you remember when we bought William Gallas in? You know, we've done deals where we've looked at players who have had good careers previously and thought this could be useful for us in the interim, in the short term, and it's never really worked out. But then you look at other clubs, you look at Chelsea, you look at the acquisition of Thiago Silva, free transfer, highly experienced footballer, has come in and added something to their backline and improved them significantly. You look at somebody like Edinson Cavani at Manchester United, another player who has been at the top of his game and has been at the top of the European game at various points in his career, isn't necessarily there now, but provides wonderful support to people like Rashford, to Martial, to Greenwood. And the difference is that Manchester United have that talent already there, that young talent that they're set on. They know that that is their future. And someone like Edinson Cavani just, it adds to that. It provides them with an alternative option, an alternative weapon, but also will probably help those players develop. You know, somebody like Diego Costa, I don't think he's got that. I don't think Diego Costa has that ability to go and do that at another football club. I feel like Diego Costa's too divisive of a character. He's too abrasive. Clearly doesn't just have issues with opponents, because as we've said, Atletico Madrid are terminating his contract. So there's so much you got to consider doing a deal like this. And teams like Chelsea, teams like Man United, when they do deals like that, it doesn't really have a massive financial impact, because their spending power is obviously greater than ours. But in Arsenal's case, where funds are tight, it's definitely not the right thing. It's definitely not the right thing for me.
But also, Harry, I think Silva and Cavani, it's an important distinction to make. Like, I think they have been recently doing well.
Yeah.
And also, they're at the top of their game. Like, at one point, you know, in the last few years, Thiago Silva was one of the best defenders in the world. And for a long time, Cavani, arguably one of the best strikers in the world. Whereas we're almost signing the level below that. And, you know, in Willian's case, I mean, he showed flashes and he has showed flashes, but you wouldn't say that he's been a world-class player at any point in his career. Same with David Luiz. He's obviously had big qualities and he's played in the World Cup. And he's, you know, won a lot of things, but you would never say he's in the highest bracket in his division. So not only are we not providing these players with the right infrastructure to be able to succeed, we're actually not getting the best of the bunch. And when you're signing a free agent, that's what you need to get. You can't get a second-rate free agent. Like, it doesn't make sense. And I think that's the important point to be made. Diego Costa, you know, was a good striker, never never top of his game. So for me, just don't even consider it. Like, the fact we're talking about it winds me up. Because
Mike's not going to sleep tonight. Quick one, one word answer. Isco or Brandt?
Loan or permanent? It can never be a one word answer, Harry.
Isco on loan, which is what's being touted at the moment. You know, the idea of Isco coming in on a short term loan. We've read reports this afternoon, actually, that, and we'll come to discuss these tomorrow on our transfer update show in a little bit more detail, but reports did emerge this evening from a number of Arsenal journalists, actually, that the interest is there, and that although it's at the very preliminary stages, there could be a deal to be done there. So Isco on loan or Brandt on a permanent deal?
I like Brandt. I think he's more of a profile, the player that we should be going for.
And he's just 24 years old, Julian Brandt. I think a lot of people don't realise that. Another one-word answer, or as close to a one-word answer. I'm just trying to get through as many questions from the guys before we do.
This is hard, Harry, because I might look like an idiot if I don't explain myself. But fine, I'll do it.
You might look like an idiot as opposed to what you're doing now.
Do one.
Andrea says, would you take Giroud back?
Yes.
Me too. Both agreed on that one. Let's see what else we've got. I'm just going to pick out one more. And while I do that, let us know in the live chat where you are joining us from. Really, really do appreciate your support. And I love to know where you guys are tuning in from. So we'll give you guys a shout out at the end as well. So, yep, chuck it in the chat now. And we'll pick those out before we wrap up. Paul Nell says, evening, Harry. Big win. Absolutely. Timothy says the three youngsters, Martinelli, Saka and Smith Rowe, have brought life to the Arsenal. Alavi, regular on the social club, he's on the wind up. We were discussing Premier League referees the other day, and he says, Harry, do you think Martin Atkinson adds to your midfield, or are you still a Taylor man? I don't understand what you think that Martin Atkinson did in Arsenal's favour tonight. You were probably watching Songs of Praise or the Antiques Roadshow, weren't you? So,
bloody hell, Harry.
I don't know what he's on about. He loves doing this. He's on a wind-up. But...
Well, I'll tell you what, you've bitten, mate. So, You've taken the bait.
It's true. I have. He brings that out in me. We've known each other since I was 7 years old, but he still brings that out in me. Let's see where you guys are joining us from. Alexander's joining us from Durham, North Carolina. Manas is in DC. Kebab is in Netherlands. Alavi says Tehran. No, you're not, mate. You're in Hertfordshire. Don't try it. Reese Taylor says NYC. Kevin's in Hounslow. John is joining us from Cork. Divanan joins us from Singapore. Oscar joins us from Iceland. MWJ says NJ. Is that New Jersey? I'm guessing. I'm not good at the American, the breakdowns of the, you know, the states that they have like initials. I'm not good at that. I've got to say. So just correct me if I'm wrong. Tom says West Kilburn. Faisal joins us from Manchester. Williams in Montreal. Nithin is in Sweden. Demi's in Maryland. And yeah, brilliant stuff. Thank you all so much for tuning in. Mike, how can people follow you and keep up to date with your excellent work?
So I'm at Mike_Savory on Twitter, report for Metro Sport. And yeah, that's me. Follow me.
And the Chronicles of Aguna.
And subscribe as well.
Yeah, make sure you do if you haven't already. Riddy's joining us from Canterbury. I know I'd wrap this up, but I brought it on the screen because... Oh, there's loads coming through now. We might as well pick up a few more then. Canterbury, lovely part of the world. Lovely place. Sia's joining us from Joburg. Louis in Sunderland. Pat's in Ontario, Canada. What else have we got? Cambridgeshire, Larnaca, Cyprus. Yes.
Yeah, big up.
I'm not too keen on the Larnaca bit, mate, but Cyprus, yeah. No, I'm joking.
Awful for me.
John is in New Jersey as well. We've got Overlab in Finland, Machiavelli's in Dubai, and Peanut Butter Jelly Time, that is a great name, joins us from London, as well as Thunderbird in Copenhagen. Oh, there's loads coming. There's loads coming through. Newcastle, Slough, Germany, Australia. So brilliant stuff. Thank you all so much for your continued support. It's great to see so many of you join us from all over the world. Amsterdam too. Love Amsterdam. Great place. Right. That really does bring us to the end of the program now. So as we said at the top of the show, don't forget to like, subscribe, share, leave us a review. We'll be back very, very soon with more Arsenal-related content. Come join us tomorrow for another two episodes. So until then, take care, stay safe, and sleep tight. All the best.
You're listening to the Chronicles of Iguna, the Arsenal podcast.
I'm Martin Tyler, and you're listening to Harry